Caps fans, how you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. Coming at you on a Monday, we start a fresh week with a fresh episode type. We have not done one of these episodes yet. I'm very excited to do one of these episodes. These are my favorite types of exercises to do. We're going to break the entire league down into tiers, five tiers, based, of course, on the films of one Brad Pitt. Jeff, I'm blaming you for the fact that that is the idea today. Let me say hi to my esteemed co-host. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good. Another fantastic weekend. A lot of things to discuss. So
yes,
I'm always down to talk.
Sean with a W. I see you're wearing your purple shirt.
Oh, this thing. I'm just, you know, just happened to wear. I just rolled out of bed, and that's what I was wearing when I rolled out of bed. So, yes, my basketball team won, my football team won, but we're not here to talk football. We're here to talk basketball, and. It's interesting. We were doing a NFL version because even though my current football team is 4-5, I wonder what tier they would be in based on how we think they're going to go. And I think when we look at, I kind of blew it already. But for this exercise that we're going to do, I'm curious to see how we look at certain NBA teams.
Well, so let's get right into it because we have 30 teams to get through, which is a lot of teams, and we're going to try to do this somewhat expeditiously. So I think the best way to get going is to actually, and I think I may pivot on the spot. You know what, guys? I think I'm going to pivot. I want to do this the way that you just suggested, because I think. No, I think we should go. We should actually see the tiers at the start. Should we do that? And so you guys have an idea of what we're going through, and then we're gonna put the teams in the tiers as we move along. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good to me.
So I was gonna do a different idea, and then Jeff was like suggested because I was gonna do 80s action movies as our tier kind of categories, and Jeff was like, "Yeah, we can expand it outside of that." And you brought up Ocean's 11. Which is my favorite movie. And you brought up Ocean's 11 for a very specific reason. And then I'm like, fuck it, we're going to do Brad Pitt movies. So do you want to hear our five Brad Pitt themed categories that we're breaking the NBA down into?
Yeah, let's go.
Category one, the Joe Black tier, in which not only are you literally death, but you're actually incredibly boring to watch on top of that. This film succeeded in making Brad Pitt boring to watch, which is really hard to do. And thus it is our bottom tier. Have either of you seen Meet Joe Black?
I have not.
I've heard of it.
Well, that's something. You're not missing anything. You know what? It was actually funny. I was looking at the reviews of this film. It actually got pretty good reviews, and there's been like it hasn't like gained cult status, but there are people who are like, actually, Meet Joe Black was good. It's not. It's atrocious.
Is it? Was it like an Oscar bait type?
That was what they were going for. It did not catch any fish. So it was very bad. Our second tier from the bottom is the Wolf's tier, which Sean said to me before we got started, I've never heard of this movie. And there's a reason for that, Sean. It dropped last year and to no acclaim whatsoever, despite the fact that it starred Brad Pitt and George fucking Clooney in their first film together since the Oceans franchise. And this is the tier that we have for teams that should be much better than they are. Because much like a movie starring Brad Pitt and George Clooney, it should have been much better. It was not. It was terrible. These teams should be much better based on their personnel. That is our second tier. Our third tier, our middle tier, is the Troy tier. Have either of you guys seen Troy?
Bits and pieces.
Sean,
I've seen the trailer.
You see the trailer? Well, that's something. There's actually an extended cut of Troy that's like 4 hours long.
I will not be there.
I have not watched that. I would like to watch it at some point. So this is our middle tier. One, because this is a thoroughly mediocre movie. And two, because Brad Pitt in the movie Troy plays Achilles, who is seemingly indestructible, but has a fatal flaw that he ultimately cannot overcome. So these teams in the middle have some sort of a fatal flaw which they can't overcome. And plus, they're just mediocre. Our second tier from the top, thanks to you, Jeff, this was your idea. the Ocean's tier. Ocean, I said the Ocean's tier. We'll say the Ocean's 11. I'm a fan of all of the Ocean's films.
Yeah, you could call it the Ocean's tier. It is the Ocean's tier. Like, that's a dope trilogy. So
it's the Ocean's tier, and I actually did. I wrote down your exact language because it was perfect. Teams that need to devise a scheme or specialized combo of personnel to get to the next level. I actually want to amend this to include teams that have already kind of started to figure out a scheme or the personnel they need. But even though they have done that, they still cannot get to that upper echelon. Or Jeff,
it's like the plan hasn't been executed yet, or they're executing it, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Exactly. There's still enough uncertainty that they cannot be in the top tier.
I like that.
The other reason I think this is a perfect second tier is because, well, Brad Pitt is perfect in this film. He is unquestionably a secondary supporting character, and it is George Clooney's movie. So it's like it can't be the top because Brad Pitt is not the top billing in the film. Unlike our top tier, which is the Bastards tier, I kind of don't even want to ask you guys if you've seen this, because if you haven't seen Inglourious Bastards, I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, I'm just Sean.
No, I've seen.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I got scared because when I heard Bastards, I was like, when did that come out? And then when I was like, oh, Inglourious Bastards.
Is there another kind?
Right. The battle.
Battle of the Bastards. Yeah. No, that's true.
That's where when I first saw the name, I was like, oh, is he going to Seeds? Oh, that I was like, yeah, you were in 3025 with it. I wasn't even trying to go there, but
no, this is undoubtedly the Inglourious Bastards tier, which is not only the greatest movie that Brad Pitt has ever been in, but it is arguably his finest performance as Lieutenant Aldo Rain. And it is for the ultimate badasses of the league. So those are our five tiers. And we're just going to get right into it. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to pitch you the teams that I think belong in the tier. And we're going to maybe dive into one or two within each tier a little bit deeper. And you guys are going to push back against me as to whether or not those teams belong in that tier. Okay.
So the Bastards tier is pretty much the contenders.
Like the contenders. Exactly. Okay. You are a full-fledged contender. That is the Bastards tier. But we're not going to get there yet. We're going to start at the bottom as we always do with these. So in our Joe Black tier, meet the following contenders. The Wizards, or contenders for this tier, Wizards, Nets, Pacers, Hornets, Jazz, Kings. I will note up front, all five of these six teams have at least a -8 net rating or worse. Some of them have a net rating that is much worse, except for the Hornets. Or a -1.4. And this is where we're going to start our discussion. We've shat on LaMelo Ball a lot on this show. It is probably, if our shit on rankings are, well, Paolo won for you, Sean. Is LaMelo two?
He might be. I don't shit on the players as much as I shit on the fans of the players that elevate them. But yes, to your point, yes, it's probably in that order, one and two.
One and two in some order. I'm going to throw LaMelo a bone. Because here's the thing. We could get on LaMelo about his play style, the one-legged, as I said, Fakakta nonsense, pull-up threes. But here's the thing. With him on the court, the Hornets have actually been quite good. They have, when he's on the court, they have an offense that would be equivalent to the third best offense in basketball. They're +4.4 with him. When they don't have him on the floor, they're -6.6. Here's the problem. He has only played 200 minutes this year. He has not played for 232 minutes. So we're already more minutes not played than played. They ruled him out last night for tonight's game in LA. He has missed several games in a row with some kind of ankle injury that may or may not be related to the surgeries that he's already had on this ankle. I think they, despite their nice net rating and despite the fact that they have had some decent wins, three, they have to be in this tier because if your best player is just perpetually not going to play basketball games and everybody else is like way below that best player, I don't know how to consider you anything other than in this bottom tier. Jeff, what say you?
With that caveat, I would agree. However, I look at it as I'm only tuning in if he's on the court.
Exactly.
So when he is on the court, he probably would be in whatever the next tier, their team would be in whatever the next tier is. But to me, their positioning would be dependent on his availability. And we don't know what it's going to be yet for the rest of the year. So if I'm going on the assumption that he plays 60 games, I wouldn't put him in that tier.
And you might be foolish to go on that assumption, because I'm just going to read some numbers to you. 47, 22, 36, 75, 51.
What's the power numbers ball?
Those are the games played.
What's the Powerball number?
This year is probably going to be in the 30s at this rate.
36.
That's it. You know what? Seriously, 30. Sean, you're a gambling man. 36 and a half games played for LaMelo Ball right now this year. What are you taking, over or under?
Oh, I would take the over. 36 and a half is low. That's low.
Okay.
Like for betting purposes, I win if he plays 41 games. Come on, I would take
that. He didn't hit the number two of the last three seasons.
I would still take. I think this, like, if you're offering that at plus money, I'm taking that bet.
Okay. Especially. Do you have an issue with the Hornets being in this tier?
No, they stink. although, Brandon Miller, he will be reevaluated in a week from his slight shoulder subluxation. I think if he starts playing again, I think there's a chance for them to move out of this tier, but not while he's hurt.
They're too down bad right now as far as injuries, and there's too many other the rest of the roster is too much of a question mark. It has gotten I caught this is from Ben on Twitter in reacting to the news that LaMelo was preemptively being ruled out the day before the Lakers game, which again is taking place on Monday night. Think you could consider me officially done with the LaMelo experience? Unfortunately, I was just scrolling Hornets Twitter just because I'm human, and there was some of this going on where fans, I think, maybe are just about like I'm kind of losing patience, which I don't know, man. You look at the games played. I don't really know what else you're supposed to do. I can't blame them. Like, Jeff, you're nodding.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just saw a stat that said that LaMelo and Brandon Miller have been on the same team for 173 games, and they've only played 41. So if you do quick math, that's like 25%, maybe less.
23, 22, something like that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. They've been together. They've played on the same team for how many games?
This is Miller's third season. So if you do the math, it's, what did you say? 170.
That's right. For some reason, yes, this is his third season, not his second. Yeah, that's crazy.
Sean, you could be forgiven for forgetting how many years Brandon Miller has been with the team because he has played a lot of basketball. Before we move on, and like, look, the Russ thing has gone very well in Sacramento. He's putting up great numbers. It's great to see him again, as we talked about, like, still in the league, still producing. Things aren't great right now in Sacramento. I saw this one. This is from Kevin Phippen. Shout out, Kev. Man, what an absolute disaster my favorite team is, NBA team is. It's saying that this was all self-inflicted. I can't believe you took away such a fun thing. The city was electric. You'd have been better off running it back in perpetuity. And it has gotten to the point where there's like the ownership critiques. I saw a video of Vivek kind of sitting stone-faced on the side. And now we have the we have reached the pining for a young player who's not getting enough time to get on the court. So apparently the entire arena was chanting, "We want Keon," for Keon Ellis in their last game. And this one I enjoyed as well. Did you guys ever have any school walkouts related to an NBA player? Cause apparently they're planning one in Sacramento. It's taking place. Actually, hold on. What is it? 1:30 PM, probably Pacific time, right?
Right.
So then we got like 4 hours. Maybe we could help spread the word for the free Keon Ellis school walkout that again is taking place later today.
Boy, I would have been placed under suspension. I would have under the jail, under the house, under suspension for walking out for some damn Keon Ellis.
Dude,
things you can walk out for.
No, here's 2025.
Jeff, but that's something kids would definitely tap in. Well, no school, and we get Keon Ellis. Let's do it.
As someone who was a New York City public school teacher for the last 10 years, walkouts would like periodically happen, and it would be great because you'd ask like the student, like, because the walkout would be at noon. So you ask the student, you pass the student in the hallway like earlier in the day, you're like, oh, you're doing the walkout? Yeah. What's it for? I don't know.
Yep.
not a blessed thing anyone can
fight
do
the power, bro. That way we fight the power, we figure out what the power is later.
No, I don't look, I'm the coach Stan here. I'm always gonna be the coach Stan. I've always been the coach Stan. Mike Brown got you for not playing Keon Ellis. And now it's the same thing for Doug Christie. Like, how many coaches need to continue to give the young player limited minutes before fans turn around and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe there's something else going on there. I don't know. Sean, am I being an old man yelling at Cloud?
No, I think when the second coach does it, it's like, eh. Like when one coach does it, the one coach could be
one coach could be wrong. That's fair.
But when it's two coaches, and listen, Doug Christie doesn't necessarily have the, you know, greatest, like, doesn't have a track record because he was interim last year and he's his first year is full time. But like, there's something there. But, you know, listen, we in New York have seen that up close and personal for players, for people banging the table with certain players for them to turn out not to be who we thought they were.
Speaking of Mr. Christie, did you guys know? I did not get a chance to fact check this. I'm believing the person who tweeted it out that so Daquan Jeffries, once a Nick, always a Nick, Daquan Jeffries was signed to the Kings G League team. I'm not sure if it was on the two-way spot or not. He signed to the G League team. He is married apparently to Doug Christie's daughter, and so, some folk in Sacramento were apparently peeved at the outward notion or display of nepotism that seems to be going on here. But I don't know if the Knicks had signed like Tom Thibodeau's niece's like cousin's boyfriend or something to the G League squad, Knicks Twitter would have quite literally burned down the garden.
Yes. Or tried.
Or tried.
And Ron Thibodeau.
Exactly.
With the Westchester Knicks. Career 5.5 point game scorer.
Von Thibodeau is a great name. I like that a lot. That's really good. Okay, enough for any issues with this tier right now.
Right now, no.
Okay, you can tell me if you think we should move. I mean, we didn't need to talk about most of these teams.
I don't think any teams should be moved out of this tier.
There we go. Okay, now
wait. Time out. Did you? Are the Pelicans in that tier?
Funny you should ask. So I love it. Jeff is on his P's and Q's. So the Pelicans, I have as of now in the Wolves tier, which is again the tier specifically for teams that should be better than they are, along with the Dallas Mavericks, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Memphis Grizzlies, and your Sean, Orlando Magic.
Oh,
now I will say to your point, Jeff, the New Orleans Pelicans have it's either the third or the fourth lowest. I hope everybody's watching on YouTube just for that jig that Sean did. It's
us and Josh Hart. We are the Orlando Magic, the non-Magic fans who stand the music.
Yeah,
you gotta do it, man.
For those listening, I was dancing to the Orlando Magic. Fight song, whatever you want to call it.
Call it a fight song.
Whatever it's called. Theme song, whatever it's called.
A team that has an imaginary dragon as their fucking mascot cannot have a fight song. They could have a theme song. They cannot have a fight song. I'm sorry.
Damn. We throwing Puff under the bus?
Oh, I done thrown.
Oh, yo, you have not seen. This is the scratching the surface of Jonathan Macri versus Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, like, no.
It's a basketball game. If you want to go to the goddamn theme park, it's right across the goddamn street.
John Hates Fun Part 3047.
That was the origin of John Hates Fun. I have that video somewhere of John just like
ripping the halftime show.
It is the alpha of John Hates Fun. I don't know what the omega is at this point.
Oh, man. So wait.
Yeah.
Even Red Panda?
Well, no, Red Panda, that's a feat of athletic achievement.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
You know, but no,
I'm not gonna don't go down. Don't go down because we're
not gonna go down this road. We have too many teams to get through.
Right.
Okay. So the Pelicans are they're a minus 12 net rating, which is very bad. It's like third or fourth worst in the NBA. The rest of these teams are not that anywhere close to that level of misery. I put the Pelicans in this tier because of the spirit of the tier. They should be better than they are. Mm-hmm. And this is actually worthy of a discussion. There was so much coming out about they have quit on Willie Green. Now, since that stuff started to come out, the team won a couple games. They kind of responded. Coincidence that response happened when Zion Williamson was not playing basketball? I don't know. That's perhaps part of the discussion. I almost don't want to hold it against the roster, the team, whatever, the fact that they maybe have quit on the coach, while also fully acknowledging like the rot is in the walls. This organization, as we've talked about already, has been perpetually down bad for the last whatever 20 some odd years. At some point, it's not the coach, it's not any the roster, it's not anything. It's like it's just the organization. So I didn't know what to do with this one. Sean, thoughts? Too high here?
So too high. I thought, you know what? I say this. I'll say this. This is not the team I'd move out of this tier.
That I think really?
Yes.
I think they call that a teaser. Before we move on, Jeff, you have an issue, I think, with the Pelicans being here.
I did just off the strength of record. When you explain the tier and say they should be better than who they are, I get it. That being said, we're not even getting Jordan Poole minutes at the moment for a quad trade. So we're not even getting like all eyes on me. I'm chucking up threes and knocking them down and staring down my coach who I clearly have an issue with. We're not getting those minutes. Zion, insert year here. No Eves Misi. DeJounte Murray back until New Year's, after New Year's. I don't know if I want to watch these dudes hoop. That's where I think about it. Like, my desire to avoid watching them hoop is stronger than my desire to say that they should be better than what they are.
You know who has a desire to watch them, apparently, if you believe everything you hear, is Tim Duncan. I think it was Troy Daniels, who does the Pelicans broadcast, said that Duncan sent him a text saying he likes Derek Queen, who it obviously
you
is
know
a...
What?
Is a figure of much, a lot of opinions because of what the Pelicans gave up to get him in a trade that who the hell knows how that trade is going to be, you know, viewed and derided into the future. But the kid looks good. He looks like he's a real player, you know? So
hey, he contributed to me winning March Madness Survivor Pool when he sent when he sent whatever that team was. I can't remember the team when he sent them to hell with the game-winning shot, and I had Maryland in the survivor pool. So, well, Derek, you know what? I rescind my prior protest. Off the strength of Derek Queen alone,
there you
they
go.
Can be where whatever tier you place them in, I have no protest because that man won me some cash or contributed to winning me some cash. But keeping it real, they are very borderline. Like, if it's flip a coin and they're in the Wolves tier,
I'm
good. They're borderline.
I want to give it the benefit of the doubt for now. Maybe they just needed to put the kibosh on the Jordan Poole experience. Who would have ever thought that trade was a bad idea? Sean, what team do you want to move out of this tier?
I would move the Dallas Mavericks out of this tier.
Oh,
there we go.
It's funny you say that.
Where to?
So hold on. Before we ask, we say where to. So we have a couple different things going on here. So we have both Tim McMahon, Ban McMahon, as it were, and Mark Stein reporting that it's not if, it's when. It's Nico is going to be on the way out. But at the same time, you have other people like, who's this, Linz, shout out to Linz, tweeting in response to that story about Nico maybe being on the way out. Sell the team, sell the team, sell the team, sell the team, of course, to Patrick Dumont. Not going great right now in Dallas, seems. Is that the basis of your argument, Sean?
Yes, that's part of it. But the other thing is, so like you said, this tier,
yeah,
is, this should be so much better. It is, given the personnel. And to that I say, why? Because their best player never plays.
That's the LaMelo argument. You're talking about Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Okay.
Their second best player.
He doesn't never play. He's out right now.
Oh, he's out right now. Shocker. I had no idea.
Hold on. You keep talking. I'm pulling up Anthony. I have to come to Anthony Davis' defense.
You could pull it up and then listen. But this doesn't include when like Anthony Davis is kicking ass for a half and then he leaves of like a calf strain and misses whatever. Their second best player is recovering from a torn ACL. And he's, how old is Kyrie Irving? 30.
Not young.
He was born in 1992, March of 92. So he's 33 years old in his 14th season.
He's a man of a certain age.
Yes, PJ Washington, ever since turning into Klay Thompson in that playoff series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's shooting 28% from three. They are playing D'Angelo Russell 21 minutes a game. Enough said.
Cooper Flagg point guard experiment. Maybe not
terrible.
Great.
Klay Thompson, shocker, the 35-year-old shooting guard with a torn ACL and torn Achilles, is not playing as well as he could be.
It's coming around any day now. I don't know if you heard Klay talk about that. It's coming.
Daniel Gafford is averaging 4.5 rebounds a game. Like, why anyone thought this team would be any good is beyond me. Like, unless Cooper Flagg came in and was just like a but again, they got him playing point guard, which is nonsensical. But then again, this is Jason Kidd, the same man who had Giannis at point guard for an extended period of time.
So they have to answer your question, people thought they would maybe be a 500 or even above 500 team because of their defense. Their defense is the fourth best defense in the NBA as of right now. Unfortunately, not only is their offense ranked 29th ahead of only the Indiana Pacers, who are one step away from signing us to play basketball for them, but like you watch them, if you can stand it, and it's just like they're dead in the water. When you are 5 points per 100 possessions worse as a scoring, as an offensive team, than the Pelicans, who are the 27th worst offense in the league, you know, and to answer your question about Anthony Davis, here's going back for starting last year, 51 games, 76 games, okay, 54, 40, 36, and we can keep going.
You thought I made this up.
one season where he played some games.
Yes, I remember that one season. We all knew that was exception, not the rule. Like, this team is not good. Like, they don't belong here. They don't, like, I don't know what people, like, I remember doing my preseason rankings. I had them firmly outside the top 10. Firmly.
Like, outside the top 10?
In the West.
Oh, okay. That was a bit of a take.
Well, they were 10th last year.
Well, they had Luka Doncic for half a season. Yes. So let's trade him away.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Jeff, you're the arbiter. Are we keeping him in this tier or are we moving them down?
Nico Harrison traded Luka Doncic mid-season. Yes, for Anthony Davis, who's about 8 years older, 10 years older. Did not get a first round pick. Then proceeded to trade Quentin Grimes for one of the Martin brothers, I believe.
Yes, Caleb.
Yeah.
If you think that thumb isn't pointing all the way to hell and sending them right back into the Meet Joe Black tier, you got another thing coming. This is the least that could happen. Oh, But maybe somewhere the luck will happen. The Mavs luck will pop into my head.
That's the
same luck that allowed them to tank that pick that they were supposed to go to the Knicks and get Derek Lively. The same luck that allowed them to trade one of the top five players on the planet, on this planet, in this universe, and end up with Cooper Flagg. Maybe the tide is turning, but the tide will not turn today. Send them into the Meet Joe Black tier.
But if they, I will send them into that tier. But if they fire Nyko Harrison, do they lose the Kramer luck?
No.
Discussed on Friday. You think they still get it?
Yes.
If we believe, okay, two things. One, the Caleb Martin that was traded for Quentin Grimes is shooting 28%, 29%. From the field.
From the field. I'm looking at it right now. He's also played 347 minutes for this franchise.
I don't understand how, and he shoot his effective field goal percentage is 32%. But anyway, we have to remember that. Remember, getting Cooper Flagg was all part of the plan. That was part of the master plan. That's number one.
I want to hit
at number two. I mean, I hate the NBA. Conspiracy theories about the lottery, because shout out to David Aldridge who say like you can literally find a reason for every single team why the lottery is fixed, but and I tread lightly considering you know thing the word fix when it comes to the NBA lately, but if the NBA was going to fix the lottery for anyone, it's not going to be for these ass clowns. It'll be for the team that's behind them in offensive rating. And when that market opens, and that's the Indiana Pacers. And when that market opens up, I will be betting them motherfuckers to get the number one pick in the draft.
That's a good call. Shout out to I'm going to mess his name up.
Jeff's shaking his head.
Cause man, it's like enough.
This team stinks.
Shout out
every time they fall into this. And what do we have to watch? Who do you have to watch? Zion get picked. Ja Morant. 10 years ago. Tim Hardaway Jr. wanted to go legend the last game of the season. And messed up the odds. First year that the odds get flattened. That's when you're the worst team in the league. Whatever, man. Every time, bro. Every time. But the Ewing pick was not that sacrilegious. It wasn't.
It was literally 40 years ago. We need to let that go.
Please.
We have to move on. Shout out to Kirk Henderson for introducing the word chuckle fuck into my lexicon with his Mavs rant over the weekend. You didn't hear that? Google it. Also, I wanted to just highlight the Clippers, who have the 26th ranked defense in the NBA. They are minus 5.4 per 100. They're 1-5 in their last six games. Kawhi is hurt. Their one win is a 2-point win over the aforementioned New Orleans Pelicans. And Bradley Beal is shooting just under 38% from the field. Not going great for LA. Okay. Our middle tier, I've switched the Mavs, by the way. Our middle tier, this is the Troy tier, thoroughly mediocre, maybe has a big glaring weak spot. I have the Suns, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Blazers, the Celtics, and the Warriors. First impression, Jeff has given me eyes. I'm assuming at the Warriors being in this tier.
Yeah, middling.
I agree. I think the Warriors should be here.
So here's the argument: Golden State, they are a plus 2.6 on the year. That's pretty. It's okay. They are 2-4 in their last six games. Now, granted, Steph Curry has missed a few of those games. He's missed three straight, I think. Even so, like last night. I had this game on. They were tied with the corpse of the Pacers at halftime, and then they finally pulled away towards the end. They have a six game road trip coming up. I got to be honest with you. I toyed with putting the Warriors in the next tier down. They got to play OKC, then they got a couple in San Antonio, then they go out to the East Coast. If you are so dependent on all of your top players being healthy and available, and all of your top players are in their mid-30s or above, except Kuminga. Kuminga's very good, and he's young. I just, and it seems, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting sucked in by Warriors fans. It seems like every time I look at a tweet from a Warriors fans about their team, they are like fire Kerr into the sun, like just absolutely losing their minds.
I've been on that for a few years, Loki.
Well, they've been on that for a while.
They have. And it's, but it's like, you know, they're a game over 500. I know they came out of the gate looking really strong, you know, with some nice quality wins, but they're, I don't know. Sean, you're okay with them being here?
Absolutely. Yeah, and first of all, these Warriors, these entitled Warriors fans who think that the reason, like, if they hired, you know, if they hired 1996 Phil Jackson, that they'd be a bona fide championship contender are outside of their mind. But yeah, I mean, they have a major Achilles heel, and you said it, like, their best player was born on March 14th, 1988. Their second best player was born September 14th, 1989. Mm. Their third best player was born March 4th, 1990. And obviously Kuminga say he's their fourth best player. So then that means their fifth best player, Al Horford, was born on June 3rd, 1986. In fact, it sounds like he was born like literally like a month before Len Bias was drafted. Oh. Think about that. So the Achilles heel is health. Like they got to get to April in one piece. And with those guys, those ages, like, especially we saw it last year where Golden State was suffering injuries. And then all of a sudden Steph started playing more and more minutes to try and win games. Cause they had to catch, they were so far in a hole they belong here. Absolutely.
I forgot about that 2-game swing when they lost to the Medicaid team in Indiana and then let Ryan Rollins get his revenge on them and drop a 32 pack on their dome. I forgot about that. Like, once y'all started talking, I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And to use Sean with a W aphorism, the idea of the Golden State Warriors in 25-26 is better than the actual Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Like, you can't sleep on them.
No.
They will unk their way through a lot of games, especially to younger teams. Yeah. The unk hoops will get it done. But if they meet a team that's better, more talented, or just has enough sharpness in their strategy, they're not going to be able to overcome it. At least I don't think so.
And you know what the problem is, you know, with teams, obviously the Thunder, but also the Nuggets and the Rockets, we're going to get to in a bit. And even you want to throw in the Spurs, you want to throw in another West team or two, being as they are, if your path through the West is going to include 3 road playoff series, including probably 2 against elite competition, it's just like, I guess there's a world where they're healthy come mid-April, and it. But you know, that we haven't seen that world in a while with Golden State, at least.
I've already booked Houston Golden State first round.
And guess what? They're not gonna. And Golden State is not gonna have the luxury of playing someone whose go-to player down the stretch is Jalen Green.
That's good. You know,
they replaced Jalen Green with Kevin Durant. Like, if that's a 3-6 or a 2-7 matchup in round one,
nightmare. I am betting I would. Ooh, that's a, well, let's save it for our last year. I do want to give a shout out. Somebody pushed back. I saw, I think it was on Twitter or maybe on YouTube, of us having Booker in the top point guards discussion, because they're like, by that definition, because he handles the ball the most, well, then Jokic is the point guard on the Nuggets. So I guess my only response is, like, doesn't every team need to have somebody who is like the, you know, ostensibly the point guard? I don't know. It did make me think. And then I looked up Devin Booker. He is second in the league and with 4.2 turnovers a game. Only Stephen Castle has more. So I don't know. But either way, I think that's the Suns' weakness, is they do not have a true point guard. So yeah, that's why
they have a few weaknesses, but that one.
Well, it is one of them. I thought I was being kind putting the Suns in this tier. Okay. Next tier, and this is where we're going to get into our meatiest discussion of the day. This is a large tier. So maybe I should actually, because dispense, there's not going to be much suspense because anybody I don't name is going to be obviously in the last team. So the top tier, the Inglorious Bastards tier, I only have five teams. Thunder, Nuggets, Knicks, Rockets, Cavs. Not, don't worry about the order, but only those five. Say it again. Thunder, Nuggets, Knicks, Rockets, Cavs. Which leaves in the second tier down, the Ocean's 11 tier, the tier that inspired me to do these silly Brad Pitt rankings. Here are the teams that I have. The Lakers, the Bulls, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Wolves, not in the Wolves tier, ironically, the Heat, the Spurs, and the Detroit Pistons. Thoughts, Sean?
Well, listen, if Tim Bontemps were here, he'd have the Pistons in the Bastards tier because, good Lord, for those who have not listened to the Hoop Collective, if you want to laugh, please.
I got it up on the screen right here. This is the quote. Thanks to Shandy for pulling this.
Yes, and the quote is, I would contend, after watching Cade in this game, I think Cade is the second best player in the East. I would put only Giannis ahead of him. Tim Bontemps also went on to talk about how the top seed in the East is in play for Detroit. And one Tim McMahon bandied about that there is an OKC-like progression in turn for Detroit that Detroit is following because of their leaps being buoyed by internal development. With that said, I actually think so in terms of this tier, there are two teams I would remove from this tier and I would move out. Actually three.
You would move them down or
up? I'd move them down.
Okay. Who are the three teams?
I'd move the Lakers, I'd move the Heat, and I would move the Sixers.
Okay, we're going to get back. Let's get back to that in a second. I want to stick on the Pistons for us for a minute. By the way, funny you mentioned the Sixers. That is the team that the Pistons just beat. Had to go to overtime to do it. The aforementioned Cade Cunningham did have himself maybe the dunk of the year down the stretch of that game. It was very nice. Here's the thing I want to ask about the Pistons and Cade Cunningham in particular. And I'm going to put up a quote from a gentleman who covers the NBA, national reporter. And it's the same guy who just said the quote from today's Hoop Collective about Cade Cunningham. Yes. This is Tim Bontemps. And shout out to Tim. I love Tim Bontemps. I'm a huge fan.
I like Tim also.
We're big fans of Tim Bontemps here, yeah. But just this is a spade to spade. This was him on the Pistons before the year started. I think Detroit will fall short of 47 wins. They had a historic jump last year. It was a great season. J.B. Bickerstaff did a terrific job. Cade Cunningham became an All-NBA player. They won their first playoff game in almost 20 years in that fun series against the Knicks in the first round. But a lot of times when you see teams have that kind of a leap, there is a bit of consolidation the next season. Here is my question. What has actually changed to materially alter the Pistons' outlook moving forward? And before you answer that question, a couple of stats. Actually, I want one more tweet, and this is courtesy of our good friend DJ Zulo. Cade Cunningham is awesome, but still has two significant offensive flaws, pull-up shooting and turnovers that good defenses can exploit. By the way, Pistons' schedule, not exactly world beaters this year. Until he fixes those issues, he can't be considered the second best player in the conference. We saw his turnover issues on full display against the Knicks last year, who, by the way, were not a great defensive team. And he still is not a threat as a pull-up shooter. So Cade is playing very well, but still fundamentally the same player with the same issues. And then as a team, they're 16th in offense, they're 21st in efficiency, they're 28th in three-point frequency, which you might say, oh, the Rockets don't shoot threes either. Yeah, the difference is the Rockets are the second most efficient team in the league when it comes to three-point shooting. Pistons, 18th. So they don't take threes, and they don't really hit threes. And yeah, they get to the rim a lot, but again, bottom 10 in rim or restricted area efficiency. And it ultimately comes down for me. I don't know how I'm supposed to take this team seriously as a real threat to come out of the East when they have exactly one shooter in their regular rotation that I really, really care about guarding. And he's a guy who could not get on the court consistently for the Miami Heat for the last 5 years. You telling me they could win a round? They could upset someone? They upset the Knicks. It wouldn't shock me. Make it through three rounds and make the finals? I can't get there. Can't. Jeff?
So go ahead, Sean. Sean, you seem like you had an idea.
No. Go ahead.
So I watched Sixers Pistons. Since we're putting the caveat that everything is a jump out the window because it's only been 10 games, right? Yeah. We're going to talk about what we've seen so far. I watched that game, and the idea that I had was neither one of these teams as teams are jumping off the screen at me. They seem like they're running similar offenses, pick and roll, stack picks, light spin pick and roll, a little plethora. You got the, and yes, I understand there's a bunch of players on both sides that didn't start or didn't play in this game. Doesn't change my outlook, right? You got Philly relying on Andre Drummond corner threes to space the offense. You have the Pistons relying on Ron Holland to turn into Rip Hamilton. Like, he had a great night. I seen Asar hit a nice pull-up midi when they were making their run. Mm. And I'm like, okay, you know, this looks cool, but it doesn't look like a team that should be considered a potential top seed in the East. Like, neither one of them. Like, Maxey is incredible. Cade was busting their ass. Like, there was a good game. But if you're telling me this is a team that clearly looks like on screen they have made a significant leap, I don't agree with that. I think players have. I think Jalen Duren has an outside argument to be an all-star reserve. And I'm saying this also with another caveat. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with this U.S. versus the world thing. I think it would be a mistake if they limited spots based on where you were born.
Jeff.
I just do think if that's what they end up doing, there's going to be wilder snubs that come out of this than in any year, especially so far where we're starting this year. Durin, Cade doing their thing. Everybody else just seems like who they've been. Same thing with the Sixers. So
yeah.
I think you got to...
Maxey.
Well, Quentin Grimes is looking official. So I'll say that outside of Maxey, Grimes, and Edgecombe, this is year one. So we're seeing what we're seeing.
Year one,
yeah. And he's solid, right? So outside of that, and you know, if Embiid is dropping 27 points in 20 minutes, that's something to consider. He's still Embiid, right? And Paul George is still, we're still waiting for Paul George to come off a snake way and get into the game, right? Having said all of that, I just think we got to take them in 10 game increments. And from what I've seen with the Pistons, I think they have been defeating teams. They've been outworking teams, and Cade has been able to rise above, especially in the 6-game win streak. I don't know if the competition has a lot to do with that, but it's just, if I look at the Rockets, for example, I look at the Nuggets, I'm like, oh, look, they got it. Like at least early on, and they look sustainable. I don't know if I could say the same for either team.
Durin, 19-12, and his on-offs are insane. Like, they're destroying teams when Durin is on the floor. When he leaves, they're, my favorite word, poo-poo. 88th percentile on-off, according to Cleaning the Glass. That's a really strong number. In terms of, like, so the Sixers part, like, I think a lot of people were just expecting everything to go wrong for the Sixers because everything always goes wrong for the Sixers. You just, like, went through all the things that are going right, which means if all those things continue to go well, if Edgecombe does not have hit the rookie wall, if Embiid can stay on the floor, if Maxey can continue hitting pull-up threes at a 48% clip or whatever the hell, like, but the odds are a few of these things are probably going to lessen, and we are going to see the Sixers settle into something closer to a mid, low to mid 40s win outlook. For the
it's not as disastrous as we thought coming.
No, it's not as disastrous as we thought.
That.
But this is a Piston team that we were like, all right, we assumed again, what was the over under 47, and some smart people were picking the under. I forget what I actually picked on that. I thought it was a good number, but like, okay, could they win 50? Absolutely. Can they win 50? But the difference between winning 50 or 51, 52 and being able to win three playoff series when as a, you know, Tobias Harris is the second most threatening shooter in your starting lineup? Sean.
So the funny thing is, that's why I believe, actually, I think they're a fourth team that should be considered for the lower tier, because the tier below it, again, is teams with a major Achilles heel. And that team has one guy who can score. In terms of, like, here you go. Like, unless you wanted
the Pistons, you're telling me
the Pistons.
No, we can't put them in the middle tier. But
I wouldn't do
that. Why not?
Because
they're 8-2.
You know why?
Because
you know why?
Because they beat the Nets, the Jazz, the Grizzlies, the Mavs.
I'm looking at it right now. I wrote it all down. They did beat the Rockets, Boston, Orlando, Dallas, Memphis, Utah, Brooklyn, Philly and OT, lost to Chicago and Cleveland. You know why? Because how often, several years ago, did we hear people come at us with the Knicks and being like, this is smoke and mirrors, Thibodeau bullshit, he's getting him to play harder, yada, yada, yada. And we were like, okay, just keep that same energy when we play your team. The Pistons are a pain in the ass to play. I'm not disputing that. This is about whether they are a contender or not. I think that's an important caveat here.
And I would say, I don't think they're a contender. And to that point, because I actually thought about that, I said there was a time period where the Knicks had Jalen Brunson and a bunch of, and the Brunsonettes, you know, when the Knicks were down three starters.
What did Julius Randle do to you? My goodness.
No, this is the three.
Oh, you're talking about 2 years ago.
February. Okay. Yeah. The February Knicks.
February, March, April.
Not the January Knicks, the February Knicks.
My favorite Knicks team ever, probably.
Yeah. So like one. So, yeah, that team down three starters, I mean, we thought what Jalen Brunson was doing was amazing, but we knew that team could not contend. But that team, but the team as fully healthy, we're like, listen, Julius Randle on the Pistons would be a godsend for them, because he's someone like, there's no other gravity on this team besides Cade. And it's until Jaden Ivey comes back. But then again, the next time Jaden Ivey shoots league average from three, is the first time. So, like, it's not that I think the Pistons are mediocre, but I see, like, they're not a contender because they have Achilles heel, and their Achilles heel is they got one guy to depend on.
You know, all I'm hearing, Sean, is you need to – what do we have, our call with Fanatics in a half hour? Mm-hmm. Can we get them to put a line on Lauri Markkanen trade destinations and then immediately, whatever that line is, Markkanen to the Pistons?
Yes.
That the mortgage is going on that.
Absolutely,
because they are in this position now, and they can credibly talk themselves into we're a player away from maybe going to the finals.
So when Danny Ainge says, "Send me a SAR and all your picks,"
thank
is
you.
That happening? Because that's the first thing I'm saying, and I am more magnanimous than Danny Ainge.
Danny's going to ask a SAR and Durin
fuck off.
And pick. No,
if it's a, hold on. Sorry, the conversation's over.
Give me Durin.
You couldn't even do some nonsense with like, all right, but we'll send Kessler back because now Kessler's hurt for Louis. I don't think they could trade Durin. I know
they'd have to trade a SAR,
Ron Holland, and like four picks.
Yeah, and Detroit will counter with
so don't nerds. I'm off the top right now.
Detroit will counter with Ivy and Holland, and I don't think they have any other young players that we've forgotten about. And all the picks.
Trajan, I get it. You don't want to part with a SAR, Trajan, but I can't do it for nothing. The best I could do is a SAR, and the this is gonna be like Corn War. It's like the best I could do.
but that's a real game of chicken, because is there another team? Because then what's Angel? Because you know what Angel do? He's just gonna hold on to him, even if it's to his detriment.
Yep. Or send him to the Lakers.
He's not sending him. All right. Well,
you know who I thought was never gonna go to the Lakers in a trade, John? And thank you, Nico Harrison.
Hold on. What did you call the Lakers the other day?
Snowtown Lakers.
Lauri Markkanen could complete the snow. It's Luka, Reeves. Sean's losing it.
Jake LaRavia.
LaRavia, connect, and Markkanen. Oh, how they'll look in those yellow jerseys.
This would be like 1920s Hollywood.
Oh my God. That's gonna be a real throwback.
That's and Danny Ainge would be like, this is the team I'm supposed to have in Utah. The
Casablanca Lakers. have we been on a month before we get canceled? I'd like to last a month. I really would like to last a month.
All jokes aside though, Sean, the Pistons are like second in the league in defensive rating. I can't put them in that because that third tier, what is it? Troy, that's like the mid tier. Yes. I'm not gonna call
Sean,
call them mid.
Give me the team. Give me the teams that you mentioned. But I'm gonna go through this tier again. So the Heat, yeah. You want the Heat down a tier?
Yes.
The Heat right now, before you say that, are seventh in the league in net rating. Their offense has fallen off a little bit, but they're 13th in offense, and they have, of course, an elite defense again. They're top five defense. They are taking a very creative approach to offense, instituting a lot of the stuff we saw the Cavs do last year and the Knicks are doing this year. It has largely worked for them. They have been banged up, obviously. No Hero. Bam has been out. I want to give them the due respect. But Jeff, you're the arbiter here. You decide.
I'm sorry. Brian Daboll is out as the Giants head coach.
Did that just happen?
Mike Kafka has taken over.
I'm sorry
that it popped up on my feed. Wow.
Is that real though?
It's real. Schefter has reported it.
Shout out to Jeff Eisenband, who's the first one that I saw that. He was supposed to be out after Denver. This is what happens when you don't. When you kick field goals at the half-yard line instead of just going for it on fourth when you're 2-80. But we move. Sean, I'm going to put bias aside. For what they did, and I thought the Heat were going to stink consistently throughout the season and I still think they are going to be one of the four State Farm official play-in teams in the East. But the culture known as Heat culture, I throw my hands up if John had them in Oceans, because I do feel like they at this point they are a scheme or one piece or a player away from it getting at least interesting.
If that's
the requirements of the tier, we gotta put the Heat in that tier.
Okay, wait a minute. If the tier is they're a player away from being contenders, that's half the fucking league.
It's not because look at the teams in the middle tier. I'm going to say them again. Suns, Hawks, Raptors, Blazers, Celtics, Warriors. If all those teams got like Nikola Jokic or something.
No, not Jokic, but I mean like, here's what I'm saying.
Looking I feel bad. I have the Blazers. Now I kind of want to move the Blazers up.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are these fringe contenders?
They're not contenders as currently constituted.
Mm-hmm.
But if they made a move or they figured like one thing out, like again, Pistons, perfect example. If they trade for Markkanen, put them in the top. Like the Spurs, if like their kids grow up all of a sudden and Fox actually stays healthy and the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
move them up because they already got the Wemby thing going.
Spurs, I agree with. I guess for me, I'm looking at the description of the Troy tier and it says a major Achilles heel. And listen, we are playing small sample size theater. We're playing small sample size theater right now, which is what Tim Bontemps is doing when he goes from, I don't think this team can win 47 games to, they might be at a top seed, right? But I just look at the Achilles heel. Like, for example, the Lakers, you know what their Achilles heel is? They have a LeBron size problem.
Well, speaking that's of their which, Achilles heel. Paul Pierce, who obviously only brings best basketball opinions, says the Lakers need to trade LeBron because he's going to hold them back. Take of the day for Paul Pierce.
But you know what? My best friend Dorian, who Jeff knows, is a Lakers fan. And he was talking about, like, he was telling me that he was looking at this team is now Luka's team, and with Luka and AR, this is the future. This is the path forward.
AR, right? That's way too cool of a nickname for Austin Ridge.
It's literally his initials.
I don't care. No, AR sounds like kind of badass.
Well, I should have called him his real nickname, AR-15. Like, and that's not exactly him wearing number 15 is not an accident. But he's like, all right, this team is Luka and AR, and that's the path forward. And I said to him, does LeBron know that? Because LeBron is still monitoring the situation. Like, that's their Achilles heel. Like, the Heat Achilles heel is their go-to guy is Tyler fucking Hero. Thank you.
Next. Oh, that's a way. Hold on. That's another way we could get the Snowtime Lakers. Trade LeBron to the Heat for Tyler Hero.
And then the Sixers. LeBron
ain't never going back to them guys.
And the Sixers, do I have to point out what their Achilles heels are? Like,
I think
Achilles knee, Achilles leg.
Like,
okay. All right. I'll do you this. We will move.
We need one more tier.
We're moving the Sixers down to the Troy tier because, again, the Achilles knee, the Achilles, that joke got me. Pistons are staying. Bucks are staying because Giannis has been too good. Spurs are staying.
Yes.
Wolves are staying. The Wolves need a point guard. Wolves are staying. Heat are staying. I can't move the Lakers down, man. The Lakers, I know they have like a dead even net rating, and that's. They've won some close games.
You know what I'll say? I'll say this. The Achilles, if your Achilles heel is like personnel related, you can stay in this tier.
I want to see it when LeBron's coming back. Can we see it? Let's see it. They're pretty good. And now they're getting a really good player back. So, and then the Bulls. But can we keep, you want to move the Bulls down too?
I mean, if we're projecting. If we're basing this on right now, the Bulls will stay where they are.
Let the Bulls fans have their cooler.
Yes, if we're projecting, like you said, like that tweet that Jeff shared, like, you know, soon the Bulls will reclaim their rightful place.
Back we just waited on the Bulls to get the band back together because if you look at the standings right now, I'm telling you, we are an official. It's the Raptors. Actually, it's the Raptors and the Celtics that's messing up as of now because the Magic ain't in there. But at one point it was... It was the Hawks, the Magic, the Heat, and then the Bulls were the only ones that weren't in there because they've been the same play-in teams for the last few years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So last tier, I said it already. We don't spend a lot of time on them. Thunder, Nuggets, Knicks, Rockets, Cavs. Thunder, Nuggets, Knicks, and Rockets are all, they're the only four teams in the league that have a +9 net rating or better. And then there's a little bit of a drop off. Cavs only +4.7, which is eighth. I'm going to give the Cavs the benefit of the doubt. I think they played a hard schedule. Obviously Garland was out for a bit. The Cavs are really good. And then I just want to give a shout out. I'm going to put it up here on the screen. I think I have audio for this too. This is Sengun, Alperen Sengun. The end of the game against the Bucks.
Yep.
Yesterday afternoon.
This is crazy.
Just, I mean,
still gotcha. On the dribble, loses Giannis again. On Turner,
and one. And then flex to top it off. That is probably the basket of the year. So it's up there with the basket of the year so far. Either that or maybe the Curry game winning three early in the year. Alperen Sengun is coming for your MVP votes. It's just the Rockets are going to have the wins. He's going to be Jokic light in terms of the numbers. The on-offs are there. It's all there. And if he's doing stuff like that, Rockets got to be in this tier.
I'll say this because I actually had preseason. I actually had the Rockets sixth. And that's because I didn't believe – well, I did not believe that Kevin Durant, who – you want to talk about someone who – doesn't play 60 games a year. Well, I was like, all right, the guy drafted in 2007 last, but you know what? Sengun has more than made up for that because he's taking a leap that I did not foresee him taking. And, you know, because I thought the usage, Kevin Durant taking up Jalen Green's usage is like way better, but it's still usage being taken up. But like Sengun is more than made up for it. So yeah, they're absolutely here.
Sean, you know who the Rockets are without Kevin Durant? They're the Pistons.
and you know how I feel about the Pistons. So, that's a good shot. No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Even down to they got a guy named the Jamaican kid named Thompson, and they both got a Jamaican named Thompson on their team.
They're brothers.
Yes, exactly.
They're freaking twins. Not just the last name. They're literally twins.
Thank you for stepping on the bit. I appreciate it.
I did.
You stepped all over the fucking bit.
I didn't think it was. It wasn't. I
thought that was implied, but
Then it goes. Then it went, I'll take the L there. Went over.
No, it's fine. But like, I think again. There you go.
I don't know how to come back from that, so we're just going to end the show now. You know what I am going to do though. Here, I'm going to put up, so we decided Lakers are staying, Bulls are staying. All right, so we're going to put this out on social pretty soon, but for our first official Tiers of the NBA, we'll probably, we'll maybe switch up the category. I like doing the Brad Pitt categories, but we'll switch up the categories next time. Here we go. So final rankings, Joe Black tier, Wizards, Nets, Mavs, Hornets, Pacers, Jazz, Kings. Sorry, Mavs fans. The Wolves tier, Clippers, Memphis, Magic, and Pelicans. Detroit tier, Suns, Warriors, Hawks, Blazers. We should have a longer discussion about that. Let's see how the Blazers do in a couple weeks. Raptors, Celtics, and Sixers. The Oceans tier, Heat, Lakers, Wolves, Spurs, Bucks, Pistons, Bulls, and then the Bastards tier, very exclusive tier, Thunder, Nuggets, Knicks, Cavs, Rockets. Sean, final thoughts.
My final thought is a question. Which fan base are we going to piss off the most with these rankings? Because there are some, there's some people in the Bay Area that's going to be yelling along with Steve Kerr to get fired. But
yeah, but you can't have your cake and eat. Shout out to Fred Katz. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't be constantly being like, my coach sucks, my coach sucks, my coach sucks, and then be like, no,
but we're contenders.
Or we're contenders.
We're contenders. Exactly. No, but we would be contenders. But I'm curious to see which other. Like, I wonder if the Magic fans are going to show up. Are they like, how are we down there? Paolo's in it's like whatever.
No. Exactly. Did you see Paolo's press conference after this last loss?
No, I didn't.
I mean, we've done so much. So I was like, we got to give it a break. Someone asked him about it was similar to the Cat clip from before the season. Somebody was like, with the new offense, is that what do you attribute that to the cause of like the turnovers and this and that? And he was like silent for 6 seconds, shaking his head. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know.
You need a point guard.
They I don't know what they need. I think the Hawks fans have a right. I mean, Hawks, Blazers, if you're a Hawks fan, you're like, hold on, you're putting the Heat in the Oceans tier and we're down here. Same thing with the Blazers. Blazers have had some really quality wins. They're a really good team. And Denny Avdia is going to be as of right now, I would say he's going to be an all-star.
I say the Hawks fans probably have a beef if they're saying, well, you know, Trey's out for a month, but if he's there.
Yeah, exactly.
At the worst, should be equal to wherever the Heat are. I could see that.
That's the thing, and the Hawks have responded pretty well without Trey so far. So I could see that. That was a good question. Hey, listen, if you're listening to the show and you're a fan of one of these teams and you think we're a bunch of losers. I forgot the word, chuckle fucks. Let us know. Respond in the YouTube comments, respond on social media at NBA Takedown or at NBA Takedown Pod on Twitter. And obviously support the show with follow and subscribe and turn on alerts and all the things you do when you support the podcast that you love and appreciate. Certainly subscribe to the YouTube channel where we were marching pretty hot and heavy to 1,000 subscribers. I want to check right now to see if maybe we're there. But as I do that, Jeff, final thoughts.
I love this. I love this exercise. I think this was really dope. Hope we get to do it, and we will get to do a lot more innovative stuff on here to take lists and rankings and opinions and distill it into something that's enjoyable and for us to be able to debate and really have thoughtful conversations over, you know? So I enjoy that. And we've seen what y'all got cooking on those internet streets. So definitely tap in with us. You know, we're here all season and beyond. Sometime this week, I'm a drop a video about who I think have a good case for first time All-Star this year. With the caveat, once again, the hell they doing with this USA versus the Wolves the Wolves versus the world stuff. Yeah, it might as well be at this point. USA versus the Wolves.
I want to see the original Ocean's 11 cast. Are they all still alive? I think they're all still alive.
Not no, Bernie Mac. No. R.I.P.
Oh, Bernie my Mac God. Rest in peace,
and Carl Reiner passed away.
And yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. There was somebody. And the guy who played Ross's dad. Oh my God. He was a legendary actor in the.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. He's a that guy legend.
No, he's better about. Than that. It's actually shameful that I can't remember.
Which is why he's a that guy legend, because you know who that guy is.
He's better than a that guy. He was in MASH.
Dog, MASH came out in 1978. Like, MASH, if MASH is your first reference, like, oh, you don't remember this guy? He was in MASH? No. I didn't, like, come on. Plus, I never watched MASH.
Gould. Elliot Gould.
Yes. Okay. By the way, when my relationship with MASH is when MASH came on, it was time to go to bed. That was my relationship with MASH.
Anyway,
shout out to Channel 11.
Thank you, Robert. I got there, Robert. I got there. Thank you. I never watched MASH. I'm just not gonna. I watched the movie's great. I never watched the show. Hold on. Before we get out of here, real quick, can you guys see this? Did I do it?
Nope.
I thought I could. All right, I tried to put up the YouTube channel on it, but it didn't go. We're at 1,000 subscribers.
Yay!
Good job. Let's go.
Oh, hold on. I can do it. There it is. There it is. Look, I mean, take that. 1K. All right. We haven't even been on a month yet, and we're already at 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. You know what that means? That means we're either doing something right or we are just on a lot. And
right.
And we're beating people down. No, Jeff, you said it perfectly. We're striving to blend the insight and the entertainment and get that balance perfectly. I think we did a pretty good job on this episode. This was a lot of fun. Jeff, Sean, thank you guys so much. Thank you everybody out there for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. Please do remember, support the show in any way you can. We really do appreciate it. And we will be back with more funny games before you know it. Peace out.